Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
Jimmy, countdown.
Countdown to
we
what?
We are under 30 days to wedding day.
Till your wedding day.
And my brain is fried.
What's frying your brain?
There's a lot that goes into it. I'm starting to feel like Pep. I feel like I'm pointing around, making weird hand gestures, saying things that don't make a lot of sense, but we will be there.
Yeah.
Well, we will be there.
It's coming up, and I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited to be a groomsman.
Yes. I'm stressed. I know. I'm stressed.
I know. Brooke was actually trying to get a photographer today on the phone, and they had a Zoom meeting, and the lady just didn't show up.
Ooh, good sign.
I know.
That's exactly what you want to hire for the wedding.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Lady who can't show up to a Zoom call, yet she's going to show up for the wedding.
I know. That's what I said. I said, well, this person's out completely. Yeah. But that's exciting. Wedding prep. What else is left for you guys to do? At this point, you should just have to show up,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, we're in a good spot. We've met with everybody this week. Which is what delayed this podcast a couple days from coming out. But we've met with everyone. We've got all our vendors lined up. It's now just a lot of the final prep stuff. Like we met with the officiant yesterday to line up planning there. I got some work to do on that end still.
Are you guys getting married in a church? Or are you having?
No, it's not in a church.
All right. You know, tonight I'm getting dinner with DJ. I'm gonna ask DJ to be the officiant.
Are you gonna ask? Yeah.
That's so gonna be funny.
This is so not for the podcast, but no. We would have done the same thing except for the fact that we were doing a bilingual ceremony.
Oh, okay.
So DJ would not be ideal for that.
Nice. Nice. Speaking of
¿cómo
weddings,
te llamas?
You just blew out everyone's ears who was listening.
It was worth it.
Completely blew out everyone's
worth
ears.
Worth it.
Speaking of weddings, Jimmy, I got a little something for you. I mean, one second.
Oh, Jesus.
Pull my microphone out.
Okay. Oh, geez. Wait, I got to open this on them. Oh, damn. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wish we did audio. Oh, my God.
Video.
Yeah, we do audio. I told you I'm fried. Did I not say it? Well, this is an amazing groomsman jersey. You're going to like post this.
I know.
This is awesome.
When Brooke comes home, have to do like the manager photo.
Yeah, exactly.
You hold up the jerseys.
The signing, like sitting there, like sign the contract. That's perfect. Oh my God, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I will open this later.
That's fine.
I will save that so that the audio is not completely shot. So that's amazing.
Isn't that
Thank
great?
Thank you so much. That's
yeah,
awesome. I can't wait.
I know. It's going to be a good time. Wait. We're going to have a full 11. The soccer jerseys are perfect.
That's perfect.
With me included, there's a full 11. So the soccer jerseys just made perfect sense.
That's awesome.
We'll have to post that. And sorry for the peaking audio. We're still working on it. Jimmy's getting too excited over there.
Sorry. This mic
sucks, man.
Atrocious. And this was not a cheap mic.
No, like, it wasn't.
We tried.
Yeah.
We tried for like the 10 people listening. We tried to get a good microphone.
I know.
And it does not work.
You would think 5 years in we'd have equipment that works, but we sure don't. Anyways, Jimmy, forget about wedding stuff. More importantly, the Premier League is back. We've had two full weeks of action and two full weeks of injuries and lots of fun.
Yes, it has been. I'm excited. I've enjoyed it.
It's such an interesting year because it feels like outside of Arsenal and City, and even Arsenal is a little bit of a question mark. And I would say even City now having De Bruyne injured and having lost a few key players, everyone is kind of up in the air.
Absolutely.
All question marks.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the kind of the combination of what the Saudi league has had in a way on the Premier League as well, because we've seen some surprise departures that I think have impacted teams. It just seems a lot like teams are really in flux right now, which we do see sometimes at the beginning of the season, right before the window closes. Not all transfers have been confirmed. And I think things will sort out in the next couple weeks, but things have been a little sloppy. I think like I look at Liverpool kind of the way they've played. And again, you know, like they ended up winning last week, but not in the most convincing fashion. So it's been interesting.
Yeah. We've had 2 weeks of pretty good games. big matches like Spurs and United, City and Newcastle, Chelsea, Liverpool, which we called the easiest call of all time, which was an undoubted 1-1 from the beginning. I didn't put any money on it, though.
I know. I'm kind of mad because we both were so confident that that's what's going to happen, and yet we didn't do it.
I think we even said it on the podcast, like, bet your house on this because it's 100% happening, 1-1. Not just bet the draw, 1-1 for sure. Happens every single year. Bizarre. But anyways, Jimmy, lots to talk about. Should we just begin with the Arsenal and Man City talk? Get it out of the way. Yeah,
might as well, because then we can focus on everything else.
Yeah. I guess I can go first with Arsenal. We've had two wins, a 2-1 over Nottingham Forest and a squeaky 1-0 over Crystal Palace. My kind of synopsis of both of those games is that Arsenal played well enough to win. And in the Nottingham Forest game, I mean, the better team by far for, I'd say, 80 minutes. And then, of course, we always have to have the last 10 minutes of heart attack mode where, you know, we probably should have ended up drawing that game somehow. Still haven't found out how to put a third goal away, which is a big problem, but still young in the season. And then Crystal Palace, I will say that Arsenal really impressed me there, and I think impressed a lot of people after going down to 10 men, staying strong for, I think, over a half hour after the most insane batch of two yellows for Tomiyasu. One thing that is obviously true, the officiating has not gotten any better in the Premier League so far.
Yeah, I would honestly argue it's gotten worse.
It's so crazy.
Which sounds impossible, but from the United game with the non-penalty at the end there, which was just baffling, to some of the strangest decisions we've seen. If there's any consistency, that's the consistency is poor refereeing.
That's for sure. But yeah, Arsenal, I mean, we lost Timber, torn ACL, first game of the season.
Brutal.
So brutal. Looked so good, too. And I think the main talk of Arsenal so far has been, of course, Kai Havertz, already divisive among the fan base. And I'll say that so far, I'd say so good. No major impacts, but I think he's played well. He's played as kind of a target man and plays a lot of different positions and is going to wear a lot of hats this season. So far, so good.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone judging him based off of two matches is crazy. I mean, you got to give, and I understand too that he's not like a player coming from another league. Obviously, he's been in the Premier League for a while now, but you still, it is a new team. It's a new system. He's coming from a mess that was Chelsea last season. Really, I think in a lot of ways, trying to jumpstart his career again, where granted you could argue he was Chelsea's best player last season anyway, but I would just say that give him time. I've never been the biggest fan of Kai Havertz because I kind of think what you said there is the story of him, which is he's a player without a position, because I don't think think he's very good at a lot of positions and maybe not great at any of them.
Yeah.
And so, but again, he's still very young. Give him time. This team's going to have a chance. I think he is kind of like a utility knife for this team, mm-hmm. that will he'll be able to plug holes where players are out. So we've already saw Jesus back in training. So, I mean, which is great and I think needed. Yeah. So I think that'll be a big thing. I did want to ask you something with Arsenal, not to get sidetracked. And I don't think it really relates to these two games, but Kieran Tierney leaving. Granted, you know, lost his place last year as a starter, but I thought a very good bench player to have, and I'm kind of surprised that they kind of seemed like they were kind of pushing him out more than he necessarily wanted to go.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe it's mutual.
I feel like it's probably mutual, and it seems like they're not going to sell him because Arsenal are the worst team in the world at selling players. It seems like it's going to be a loan. I think it was to Real Sociedad. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, I like Tierney a lot. I don't think that he really can do the inverted fullback role. Mm-hmm. I think he's more of just a true defender. I mean, Tierney does well getting forward, but not more than, you know, whipping it across. Mm-hmm. I think Arteta and Arsenal are looking for a little bit more from that position, and I don't know that he's the perfect guy to do it. So I think it was probably mutual. I will say, though, I liked having Tierney come off the bench. Like, if you need someone to fill in defensively, I think that's a great option.
Yeah. That's kind of my thing. Like, I feel like I'm surprised that it happened after Timber got injured. When Timber was healthy, yeah, I understood it, I think, more. Mm-hmm. Granted, they play different positions, but again, Timber's a very flexible defender, can play a lot of different roles. It just feels like now they seem a little light in defense where they don't need know. To be. I don't know. Maybe it's just you would know more than I do.
I think they trust Kivior a little bit now after, mm-hmm, you know, he finished last season, mm-hmm, pretty strongly. And Zinchenko, knock on wood, will play more than like two games in a row. Ben White can play right back. Tomiyasu can play left or right back. Kivior plays left back or center back. So, mm-hmm, I mean, they have a lot of players who play a lot of different positions. And we've even seen Thomas Partey play right back for the past 2 weeks, mm-hmm, and do fairly well. So I think they're, you know, if they can get some funds for him, which I think Arsenal need to stay within, you know, their financial fair play boundaries. But who knows anymore with, you know, what Chelsea's doing. But I think they're in the mind of, you know, they have to sell some people or at least lighten the wage bill. So they're making some cuts. And not to continue on Arsenal, but it looks like Rob Holding might be on his way out, which I'm really sad about. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any need to get rid of Rob Holding. I love Rob Holding. I think you should just pay his wages just to have him in the team, just to have him around.
Okay, on that note, I get it. There are players like that are more symbolic players. Some morale just don't want to lose. Yeah, big morale guy, big locker room presence.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Palace a little bit. I didn't think Palace were bad in this game. I am a little worried about Palace, though, when I look at their team. Whereas, especially, I want to talk about the fact that Eze has been linked with a potential move to City. I don't think it's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly for $70 million. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Matthias Nunez is probably going to happen, which will mean that this won't happen. But in the event that he left, I would actually be very worried about Palace because I think that they do have that Zaha size hole in this team already. And I'm a little worried about it a little bit. I mean, I think keeping Olise was big.
Yeah, definitely.
But I just think if they were to lose him, which I don't think is going to happen, if Eze left, I would be worried about Palace slipping into that relegation discussion.
I mean, they were there last year, and then Roy Hodgson came in, and I think they won like a ton of games in a row, or they didn't lose at home, something crazy. But yeah, I mean, Palace are always a solid team. They have players who are very underrated. I'll say, like, Jordan Ayew looked great against Arsenal. Eze, I mean, I think we all rate Eze and Olise pretty highly. They're just kind of raw talents at this point. But, you know, their defense is pretty solid, too. Anderson and Gale. I don't know how to say his name. But, you know, I'm not concerned for them. I think they're more well-rounded. They have structure. And, you know, they also signed a new forward, I think a Brazilian kid, who has yet to play. And I think that's where Palace are going to struggle to score goals. But I think they're going to be in every game.
We shall see. I'm just saying, yeah. I worry if they were to lose. That's my thing. And I don't think it's going to happen. But if they to lose him, I'd just be a little worried because I think he really is like at the center of everything that they bring forward.
Mm.
And just having that loss on top of Zaha would be a little much. But
yeah,
I mean, they're a tough team to play. They do play very well. They're very structured, very organized. So
yeah, I'm not very concerned for Palace. I enjoy watching them play, actually. But yeah, Arsenal so far so good. Declan Rice looked great against Crystal Palace. Thomas Partey has played really well. Last note that I'll make, people are very concerned about Gabriel Jesus, you know, being injured, as I am, not being fit for many games. Again, let me go on record and say, I love Eddie Nketiah. If he wasn't playing for Arsenal, he would cost 60, 70 mil transfer. That's my honest opinion. I think he's that good.
As bold. I don't know.
Rasmus, a fake Holland, transferred for what? 70, 90 mil to United? Eddie Nketiah is better than him. 100%. No question asked.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I actually do think Nketiah gets a rough break by people that are not Arsenal fans. Mm-hmm. I don't think we rate him very highly. I do think he's someone who he's not gonna, obviously not going to happen. He either needs to get a run in the team or he needs to be sold to like develop fully. I just feel like he's in some ways held back by not playing enough there. I don't know. I mean, I get it for Arsenal. If they're, I think he's a very good player. I think he's a perfectly comfortable backup for Jesus.
I think he's better than that. I think he'd start.
Do you think he's a better pure striker than Jesus?
I think it's close. Pure striker, I'll say yeah. Yeah, definitely, actually. That's not that hard of a question. Gabriel Jesus isn't a pure striker, though, is he?
No, he's not. That's what I'm asking. Like, but that's where he's going to play. Like, looking at this team, he's going to play at striker.
Right.
But he's like, not going to play out wide.
But, like, Eddie is better than Balogun. And, is you know, he? Balogun's going to sell for 40, 50 mil.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. I think for a fact.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I actually, the Balogun transfer is kind of weird to me. Going to Monaco, obviously Monaco, a good team. Mm. I feel like he might get himself in this kind of Jonathan David realm where everybody thinks you're good and everybody is supposedly interested in you every year, yet you just continue to stay in the French league and perform, which is not a bad thing.
No,
but like Jonathan David every year is linked with like all these big moves for the last 2 years. And it looks like both years he's just going to stay in the French league.
Yeah.
So maybe that's Balogun for a little while. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, for U.S. team, I'm happy actually to see him go to Monaco because I think he will start every game and probably will score a boatload of goals. So
yeah, needs to play. But anyways, enough about Arsenal. Go on, Eddie. let's move on to City, Jimmy.
So did you happen to get to like see a good part of the City Newcastle game?
I watched the later second half of it.
All right. That's a more important half to have watched. Newcastle outplayed City in that game. Can we both agree with that?
Yes.
Can we agree that City look fantastic defensively? I think they look very, very good defensively and look like they really are missing some creativity in attack with the exception of Foden. I don't think anybody else created anything all game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Newcastle are
a very good
the
team.
Hardest team in the league to break down.
They're very good. Boutman and Schär are both fantastic center backs. Like,
and Trippier.
Yeah, so but like good. To talk about the center backs and the way that they played against Haaland and Alvarez, who are phenomenal mm-hmm. strikers, and the way they contained them, in the way they did it, I was just very, very impressed. I think Newcastle are a very, very good team. And I also think Newcastle have a very good amount of depth, that they, which is something they did not have last year.
That happened quick, too.
Yes. Like, when they brought in subs, they're subs that are quality subs, like Callum Wilson, Harvey Barnes, Livermento, like, even Longstaff, like, really good, solid players. Mm-hmm. I think they are a very good team. I think maybe... I personally, because I didn't have them
Me too.
In my top six. Maybe I was wrong for doing that.
I think I put them in the top six, right? But mm-hmm. I didn't put them in Champions League. I'll say as it stands right now, Arsenal, City, Liverpool, in no particular order, are the three best teams in the league still.
Yeah, I would.
I think we overestimated Manchester United and Chelsea. Yep. It's so hard because when you see these teams on paper, obviously... Yeah. Chelsea and Man U look better than Newcastle.
Yeah. And I still think United will be better. Chelsea, I do want to talk about Chelsea, but I don't want to get sidetracked. But I was very impressed with Newcastle. Obviously, last year they had a great year. I was impressed with how they played. I thought they took it to City. I thought some teams have a tendency to kind of let City dictate the game. Which obviously is something that you need to do sometimes when you're playing a team like City. But I thought Newcastle did a really good job of letting it be a really competitive game and taking it to City when they could. And they had their chances. I mean, they really did. I know they only had one shot on target, but they had chances in the game. And I thought it was actually a really good game. I thought Foden was phenomenal. Yeah, I thought
he's been outstanding.
He's going to be huge with De Bruyne being out. I do want to, one criticism I have of Newcastle, which is I think they've done a great job buying players. I have one player who I think stinks, and they spent a lot of money on him, and I think he stinks. And I think you're going to agree with me.
A lot of money on him, I think he stinks. By the way, I forgot about Harvey Barnes when we did our first episode.
Yeah,
you know I love Harvey Barnes.
It's not Harvey Barnes.
No.
He. I'll give you this. Harvey Barnes came on for him.
Oh, was it Anthony Gordon?
Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, I think Anthony Gordon's a good player.
I think he stinks. Mm. I don't quite understand what he's good at. That's kind of my thing is like, he's decently talented, but he's not a, was it 40 million pounds, 50 million pounds or whatever Everton got for him.
He's very young though.
Just seems like if his name was like something different and it wasn't English, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gordoleski.
Gordoleski.
Gordoleski would have been like 15 million pounds. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, but.
I think 40 is probably ballpark for him. I mean, let's not forget before the gambling scandal, Man City was almost prepared to pay 100 million for Lucas Paqueta. What's his name?
Yeah, it's Lucas Paqueta. Yeah,
why does that sound wrong?
That's his name. I don't know what to tell you.
Lucas Paqueta. Okay, it doesn't really sound that Brazilian. Lucas isn't really.
No, that's his name, though. That's his name. I don't know what to tell you. That's his name.
They're prepared to spend 100 mil for him. So 40 for, you know, a 21-year-old English winger who's played in the league a fair amount isn't that crazy.
That's fine. I will say I'm not impressed with him. I've not been impressed with him since he went to Newcastle. I will say that the midfield of Tonali and Guimarães is a very, very formidable midfield.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like
two bruisers.
Like tough to play against.
Yeah.
Like very, very good, which I will say seems to be kind of the way the league's going. If you look at City, you look at Arsenal, like these kind of a move towards taller, more sturdy players. It does seem to be something we'll notice more of. I mean, granted, I mean, there's still some smaller defensive midfielders going for crazy money to Chelsea, but when you look at like the difference somebody like Rodri or Declan Rice has on a field, and same thing with those two, like you can feel that presence in a game.
100%. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, Newcastle, I mean, Isak looks phenomenal. That first match they played against Villa, they looked incredible. Very fun team to watch. I mean, it's just such a transformation under Eddie Howe in such a short time. I'm really happy for Newcastle. Fantastic city. And yeah, I don't know. I think every time they play, they're very close to being favorites, or they're not far away from, you know, even money line.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking money.
You're thinking money line. I will say, I will say City definitely need to get better as this goes. They have signed. I almost, in my head, I was so close to saying Goku, but Doku, maybe they're going to get Goku too. I don't know, but I'm very excited actually about that signing. I think it's kind of the signing City need. I think they have games where they've needed that person who would take people on and just have that blistering pace that you just can't teach. So I'm very excited. I think he's going to take some time to really get into this team. I'm excited for it. I would be happy with Nunez or Eze. I think both of them would be good, solid additions to the team. Nunez in the United game was very good. He's another player that kind of doesn't necessarily have a position, kind of plays all over the place. But right now, I think City definitely need help in midfield. When you look at City's bench in the Newcastle game,
they're thin.
Like people probably don't believe that, but when you look at it, their bench is thinner than you expect.
It is, and that's odd. Like I said, they sold a lot of their key players. I mean,
and injuries added on top of that.
De Bruyne is out for what? Probably until Christmas.
I'm gonna guess January, maybe before he really is back, at least back to like full strength.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a interesting top of the table.
That being said, should we go to top of the table, top of the table?
Yeah, let's do it. Who's really top of the Brighton. Table right now? Is it Brighton?
It's Brighton. Okay. It's Brighton, and it's Brighton because they are just murdering people.
Well, they played Luton.
And Wolves.
And Wolves. I mean,
hey,
I'm not sounding the alarm yet.
No, but you can only play the teams in front of you.
Yeah, and Brighton are great.
And we say it all the time that, you know, teams win or lose the league, make or don't make top four based on winning the games they're supposed to win. Like, you can afford to lose a game against a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
You, that's okay. But you can't afford to lose the game against Luton. No offense. And I've been very impressed with Brighton. I think it's just impressed with the players they have lost. Obviously, losing McAllister and losing Caicedo in one window is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yet they just keep... like. Can I make an argument that they didn't lose their best player? Like, everybody wanted those two players, and yet Matoma's still there. Matoma's their best player.
Incredible.
Like, he might be better than both of them, and he's still there.
I think he probably is. It's just, I feel like in the Premier League especially, there's a lot of quality already in wingers for the top teams, and not a whole lot in center defense. So. I think that's partly why everyone wanted those guys. But yeah, Matoma's incredible. I don't know what it is. He's having an insane run. And maybe he's just that good. I mean, he's destroying people.
Yeah. And I mean, like, last year to sell Cucurella for what they sold him for replace him with Estupiñán, who's better. Like, they whatever they're doing in Brighton, you just have to respect it at this point.
And Ciso has been phenomenal.
He's very good. He's going to go for a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's going to be the next Brighton player that probably goes for like a crazy amount of money.
Well, the rumor is now that Arsenal are interested in Evan Ferguson, the young striker for Brighton.
Yeah, so it was I saw what Spurs were quoted at for him.
It's 100 mil,
100
right?
million. Yeah, yes.
It's crazy. I mean, Brighton now are just going to sell everyone for 100 million. They're single-handedly like transforming the transfer market, and they're getting more than what they want every time. It's incredible. But the thing about this team is that it almost feels like the Patriots, where it's like there's always a next man up.
Yeah.
And they always come in and they always perform. And I think that's partly just due to an incredible system by De Zerbi. And, you know, Graham Potter had a really good thing going over there, too, with players who, I mean, really weren't top class. And they were able to win a lot of games. And, you know, De Zerbi has just won up that. And players like Sully March now are scoring 2 goals a game. And just next man up. I have a lot of respect for Brighton. We're both big fans since the Glenn Murray days. And happy to see them do well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for them. I think they made some good signings as well. Bringing in, you know, they brought in the veteran, James Milner, who just will not go away. Daoud is someone who didn't really perform to Dortmund as well as, you know, expected, but still a very talented player. João Pedro, a very young, exciting player. Like, I like Brighton. That's just, like, it's as simple as that. I like them. I'm happy to see them succeed.
Yeah, agreed. Who else is at the top of the table right now? Who's number two?
Number two is City, no?
Hold on. Yep, it's City, Arsenal, Brentford. Let's talk about Brentford next. Brentford is so good. We love Brentford. And, they've won and they've drawn. Who have they played?
They beat Fulham and they drew Spurs.
Okay, yeah, they drew Spurs, Fulham, yeah. All right, not much to talk about there. We like Thomas Frank.
Yeah, the one thing with them, they're an example of, much like Brighton, what a good manager in a system that you know what it is, lack of change, what it means.
Yep.
Just that's all you have to say about them.
Yeah, true. All right, let's talk about Spurs. Interesting so far, as we thought they might be. Drew against Brentford, as you said. And then they went on to win 2-0 against Manchester United. Basically embarrassing Manchester United in large portions of that game when Manchester United were not embarrassing themselves by missing open goals. Did you get a chance to watch any of this?
I didn't get to see it live. I did get to watch the like extended highlights, some of it. I will say... since the last episode, we didn't get to mention Harry Kane did leave Spurs. So we should call that out. It's a new era. It's a new era of Spurs.
It looks so weird.
They're a weird team. Much like Chelsea, can we talk about, like, there's so many new players on these big teams that have just kind of come out of nowhere. Like, I'm just kind of shocked by a lot of it, but go ahead. I didn't mean to cut
you didn't off. Know about Guglielmo, Vaccaro, and Net for Spurs. But yeah, Spurs put out a lineup of random humans who we don't know.
Pape Matarsov.
Goal scorer. Actually played fantastic. Sar looked great in this game for Spurs. Someone who looked terrible is always Richarlison. What a useless human.
useless human.
He stinks.
Useless human.
But anyways, what I wanted to talk about with Spurs is a few things. One is that Destiny Udogie, fantastic signing, it looks like. I liked him a lot. Is that not how you say his name?
No, that's right. Here's the thing. Names are obviously related to your region, where you're from, all that, everything. So there's no name that's funny. It's funny to me that I look at these teams and I just don't know who these people are. Like, I don't. And, like, I follow very closely. Like, I'm on top of it, yeah. I like to believe. And I don't know who these people are. Like, I've heard the name, but I've never really seen them play. And, like, to be playing, starting for Spurs, like, this lineup, like...
It's a funny lineup.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
But anyways, he looked great. James Maddison might turn out to be the signing of the summer. Fantastic in this game. Looked great. And someone who I think looks horrific. I can't stress how bad I thought this player was, Jimmy. In the first half of this game, I thought he was lost, slow, just confused in general. Mickey van de Ven.
Your favorite guy.
Or as he has become known on Twitter, or X, Mickey can't defend.
Mickey can't defend.
And boy, he looked horrific in that first half. I will say he straightened it out a little bit in the second half. But wow, I was shocked. I was appalled. He looked... It was one of the worst, you know, small sample size, but one of the worst 45s I've seen from a player in the Premier League.
You know... I know how much you disliked it because you blew up my phone repeated texts about Mickey van de Ven.
I was shocked and appalled. He looked confused. It's like if they just threw me in there and they were like, you're tall. Go.
You're tall.
Like, go. Defend. Go, like, I don't know how.
So obviously, again, I always, new player, new league, tough opponent. You got to factor that in.
Yeah, but he looked bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, on the United side, speaking of players who look terrible, Luke Shaw, who's now apparently
hurt.
Now he's
injured, yeah.
However, looked terrible in this game. Lisandro Martinez had a stinker. Mason Mount, useless. Bruno Fernandes couldn't hit the side of a barn, had about 10 chances to score. Casemiro, slow and old. Anthony, step over merchant.
Fidget spinner.
Fidget spinner. And Marcus Rashford, I just kind of feel bad for. Like, you know, I know in 4 weeks he's going to score 10 goals in 3 games and then everyone's going to call him the best player in the world and then we won't hear about him the rest of the season. So this United team, everyone knows I'm a United hater. I thought they were going to be better than this. They started last year terribly. They finished in top 4. It's probably going to happen the same way again. They should be 0-2. I think... that I overestimated them in our first episode. I'm dropping them to Europa League officially. I think this team is not as good as we think they are.
I think that's entirely possible. I will say, I have to say this, not criticism team. This is like my typical comment. They have the most punchable faces of any team ever gathered together. They're just an unlikable bunch of people.
Last year's Everton, or 2 years ago,
They were unlikable people. These are unlikable faces. Like, just seeing their faces alone, like a lineup of Garnacho, Bruno Fernandes, Anthony. Like, those are some real punchable, like, Lisandro Martinez. Like, those are some people you just want to deck.
It's true.
You just want to start wailing on them. Like, I can't get over it either. Like, when I'm watching them, it's just like, I obviously don't like United already. And it's like, I feel justified. I feel like I've made the right choice of not liking them every time I have to see them. Yeah. I do think they will sort it out. I do not think they are as bad as they've been through 2 games. And I will point out they did win one of those games. Like, they did
by the grace of God.
Just enough to win.
By the grace of God.
That is very much the United way of just enough to win. Yeah. Has been what they've been for a long time. I will say that that they just Mason Mount. I'm
still early.
I feel like he doesn't fit this team because he's playing as like this holding midfielder in some ways. And I really think his role is best fit kind of playing the Bruno Fernandes role. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to get the best out of Mason Mount in this team. That's kind of my thought on it, at least through two matches and yeah. some of the preseason that I saw.
I agree. I honestly think one of the bigger issues in this team is just Casemiro. And he's
the best defensive midfielder in the league, Michael. You didn't know that?
Yeah. Maybe if it was like 2010, yes. He would be. But I think he just makes things a little bit more difficult at this stage. And it puts, you know, Mason Mount and Bruno Fernandes, who don't really want to defend, especially Bruno, in a weird spot where they kind of have to. And I think that's going to be the learning curve for United, is figuring out that midfield. And it's going to take a lot. Also, their wingers. I mean, Anthony has just not been doing well since he's come to the league. Yeah,
it's not been good.
It's confusing. Because if you're a United fan and you watch them every week and you see the stuff that he does, mm-hmm. you're like, this guy's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I felt about Pepe, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like you see him do like a step over and make someone. You're like, oh, this guy's a beast. And then you see him try and score a goal and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, or make a cross.
Yeah, he's never kicked the ball before.
Yeah, it's... I agree. I mean,
it's confusing.
It is confusing. And it's realistically their best two wingers are Garnacho and Palestri. And I don't think
Palestri's
they can
great.
Like Palestri's really good. Actually.
I think Garnacho is really good too.
Yeah. Like they're their best two wingers.
Yeah.
I think
it's hard.
It's hard to play them
when
consistently.
You sign someone for that much.
And like they have the Jadon Sancho problem too, which in all honesty, would they not be better loaning him out somewhere where he could play every week and just get his confidence back? Because the talent of Jadon Sancho is world-class, elite-level talent. I'm really starting to think we're never going to see that Jadon Sancho.
Still young.
But this seems like, it kind of seems like the Pogba situation of like, we'll see flashes. He's going to score these crazy. He scored a couple even last season. Like yeah. He'll score good goals. He'll show you skill. He'll show you that Jadon Sancho is still in there. But a combination of injuries and other things, it seems a little like the Pogba situation where it's going to be like, we're going to go 5 years of like flashes and never consistency. And it's going to be like the next thing we know, he's going to be going back to Dortmund. Like Pogba went back to Juventus and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Maybe the thing with United right now is that they have an insane amount of talent, but they don't have consistency. So when Rashford goes off for 10 games and United wins all of them, fantastic. And then what about the other 28 games of the season when Rashford isn't scoring? Is anyone else going to step up?
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be lack of a true striker right now. Apparently, Faye Holland is... still injured and nursing that. So maybe when he comes in, things change a little. But, I mean, for having lost 2-0 in this game, United had the chances. Like, they should have been up probably two themselves at one point. Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford missed essentially open nets.
Yep.
And
they got the makeup call this week from the referee, too, to make up for the penalty that they didn't give up last week. They didn't get one themselves this time. So
right. But are you referring to the handball?
Handball, yeah.
It's a hard one.
I would prefer there be less handballs called, but if we were going by consistency...
There is none.
Which there is none, but based off of the little bit of consistency, that probably would have been called. I mean, I'm never going to be mad United didn't get a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there is no consistency now. It's shocking.
The two greatest forces of getting penalties have met one another and spurs one out. What a surprise. but yeah, credit to Spurs. I will say, odd lineup, played well. Goalkeeper looked very solid. And seems like they've made some good signings. I don't think they're finishing top four still. Yeah. You know, I think they're still going to lose a lot of games or draw a lot of games that they shouldn't this year. But it seems like they have a spark, more so than I could say about them last year.
Yeah. I mean, do we think they're not going to bring in a striker? Is it kind of like, at this point, it seems kind of like it's not going to happen, right?
Who are you going to sign at this point?
Yeah. I don't disagree. I don't know. I still say, you know, Lukaku's out there.
Yeah, apparently no,
he's
Roma.
Good Roma, right?
Yeah, apparently that's the rumor. But yeah, Spurs look better. United, not so good. Who's next, Jimmy? Who's next? You want to do Liverpool?
Let's do Liverpool because Liverpool are weird. They're another weird one.
Yeah, and I feel like they shouldn't be. I know that over, what is it, the past 2 weeks since we last recorded, they missed out on Casado and signed a player from the Bundesliga whose name I'm forgetting. But you know, they went from spending $120 million on a defensive midfielder to, I think, $20 million.
Oh, God. Endo? Endo? Is that his name?
Yeah, yep, yep. And it seems like Liverpool are not in a rebuilding year, because I didn't say that 2 weeks ago. I thought Liverpool were going to be back and they were going to be scary. And I'm feeling less of that so far. It still feels like, for some reason, they're a little bit stingy on the transfer market. It feels like players are a little bit unsettled. Like, I feel like Mo Salah actually has potential to leave in the next few days. And
I kind of do too. I don't think it's going to... I don't think it'll happen, because I just don't think Liverpool will let it happen. Like, I don't think they have any reason to accept the bid. The only way it would happen is if Salah forced it. And from what I've seen, he's not going to push through a move. So I don't think it'll happen. I will say that there's only so long you can continue to play one midfielder. Like, when they run up against a actual, like, quality team.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to continue to work. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will. But, like, they're playing Newcastle this week.
Mm.
If they're going to put just McAllister in the midfield...
Well, he got a red card.
Got rescinded, I believe. And it should have. He should never have got a red card. It was ridiculous.
I saw the 3-game ban got rescinded, but I didn't know if they kept one.
Yeah, no, I assume, maybe I'm wrong. I think he's good. But if let's assume he's there, and they put him in the midfield by himself against Tonali and Guimaraes and Joelinton and whoever else Newcastle
wants to
roll out
there. Bunch of those hard
hitters. Yeah, like... They're just going to get bossed in the midfield. And yeah, you can, granted, you have the chance to score a lot of goals, but I just don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to have to make changes this game. I don't think they're going to run that same lineup out there. If they do, I am even more excited to watch that match if they do. And I'm already really excited, because I think that's going to be a very fun one to see.
Oh yeah, they hate each other. And it's like two diametrically opposed forces. Liverpool just caution to the wind at this point. Look like they're playing every winger and striker that they have. And they're just going to push it forward. And Newcastle, they're going to just grind you down. But yeah, I'm a little bit concerned that they might have a similar season to last year at this point. I think they're extremely talented. You know, you look at their lineup, it's still very scary. Luis Diaz, phenomenal player, and if he can stay healthy, I think that makes a world of difference. Same thing with Jota. I don't know. I'm not prepared to make any judgments after 2 weeks. I mean, a win against Bournemouth and a draw against Chelsea are two solid results.
Yeah.
Especially playing Chelsea away. Just a little bit concerning that their transfer market status is not as high as you would think for Liverpool, or at least it feels that way.
Yeah, I feel like, I think we've seen a lot of teams, I think City too, in a way, that there hasn't been a good clear plan on some transfers this year. I think the Saudi market has thrown a real wrench into a lot of teams' planning. Yeah. And then the Chelsea situation of Chelsea just buying everybody and willing. And Chelsea smartly, and I don't see how Liverpool have not learned this, because it seems like this happened to them more than once, negotiate the deal with the player first. This is like, have the deal with the player first, and you will not run into what happened to them regarding Caicedo and Lavia.
Yeah.
Like, both of them.
Yep.
Like,
it's a solid point.
like, what are you doing? And clearly they need a midfielder. And I also do want to, like, take a dig at Liverpool fans, because I saw all the things of, like, oh, Liverpool because I've been on this for months. Liverpool pulled out of Jude Bellingham because he was too expensive was like a thing that was literally pushed. And it's like, well, you offered more for Caicedo. So no, you didn't. He chose not to go to you, just like he chose not to go to City, right, not to go to anywhere else. He only wanted to go to Real Madrid. You didn't choose to pull out of that. Like
that was the decision made by the player.
Yes, that was the player choosing that he didn't want to go and play for you. Mm-hmm. So like I am a little surprised that they've had a hard time finding some midfielders. I was surprised that they were turned down by both of those two, to be honest with you.
Me too. And that's the thing. That must be for some reason, right? Because Liverpool are a better team than Chelsea. Mm-hmm. They have, I would say, a better manager than Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the writing is on the wall a little bit for Klopp.
Maybe.
Does that make sense to you, or is that a conspiracy theory?
No, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. The thing I don't get is I don't get the Lavia one the most. Because the other one, like the Chelsea, that saga had gone on since January with Chelsea. So like he could have agreed with them 6 months ago, 7 months ago. Like, mm-hmm. I get that one. Like Lavia would have won. I think he would have thrived under Klopp. I think it would have been great for his career. I think Chelsea is a bad step for him. And I question his ability to play that much. Like,
yeah, they're not in Europe this year.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I feel like he's going to really be competing for minutes, and I think he needs minutes, which was the whole reason like he left City to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, he left City to go to Southampton to play, and he did play, and look how far he's progressed his career in 1 year. I don't know if Chelsea was the right move, whereas Liverpool had a clear hole and are a better team.
Yeah, Chelsea must be offering crazy money.
Yeah, I think that has to be it. It really has to be it. I mean, I think London is a big draw of it sometimes. Yeah,
of course.
But in a situation like this, was like, it just doesn't make sense. That one hasn't made sense to me to begin with.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm in full agreement. Caicedo makes a little bit more sense. Lavia, not so much. But yeah, let's talk about Chelsea, Jimmy. Not a phenomenal start. They actually play against Luton today.
Yes, they do.
But a 3-1 defeat against West Ham and a 1-1 draw against Liverpool. Ugh, and a Reece James injury, obviously. They just can't seem to figure it out yet. But this is the problem when you sign 20 new players in the span of a year and you have to slot them in and you have a new manager. It's another question mark of a situation.
Yeah. It's a whole new team. Like it really is a whole new team. So it's going to take time. I mean, I think the Liverpool result was a good result. I actually thought that was quite impressive. I think that was good. And in all honesty, I mean, they dominated West Ham in terms of possession. They were a better team. I mean, realistically, but 3-1 defeat's a 3-1 defeat. They're struggling to put the ball in the net, which is like, granted, I will say that when Nkunku comes back, probably going to help that a lot. I mean, I think he's a phenomenal player. And Jackson had a good preseason, but struggling so far.
Looked good in the Liverpool game, I will say. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch this one, but I saw it in Liverpool.
I think he's a good player. Yeah. I think, honestly, for what they got him for, too, made a lot of sense. And Raheem Sterling actually looks very good.
Sterling is the only player who's consistent in that team, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a very good player. Yeah. He's a formerly world-class. I don't think he's... Granted, Raheem Sterling has always been world-class when he's like Jesus of like, when he's on rhythm, he is unplayable. Mm-hmm. And when he gets in a funk, he's a disaster. Misses wide open goals. Like, he does have that in him. But I think he has been very good in these two games. I think he's going to need to be. They're going to need him to be to really carry this team. I think they will get better. They're so young too, though. Yeah. Like on top of everything else, like, I don't know. It does feel to me like they could be so good or so bad, and I don't know which way it's going to go.
I am just here questioning, first of all, how they can spend so much. Fine, so be it. I don't know the finances, the ins and outs, whatever. They are selling players, and you know, their net transfer spend in quotation marks is not as bad as you might think. However, you have to think some of these giant money signings are going to come back to bite them. So this is like a boom or bust strategy, it feels like. And it's one that's going to take a few years, it feels.
Yeah, I think so.
Everyone's new.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot, just a lot going on. I feel like, and they've been like crazy signing young players too that are not going to play for them. I think they're loaning Santos, the young Brazilian, out. So I think Forrest, I believe. So like, I think that's a good move, but it's just, it's a little weird. It's just a little weird. Like a lot going on. It's a little weird.
Can we talk Mudryk for a moment?
Yeah.
I don't know anymore, man.
That's your guy.
I know. I think he's good.
I think you're fooled by the fact he looks cool. Like he looks like he should be good.
I don't know.
You know what I mean though?
Yeah,
like
he does.
Like he's got to look like he should be really good.
He does. And I know that there is a good player in there. But my God, he's another one where it's like, whenever he shoots or crosses the ball, it looks like he's never done it before. But if you see him run, the guy can move fast.
The guy's quick. He's quick. He's definitely quick.
Maybe I just like players who are fast. Yeah. I can't. It blows my brain.
It's the dude, the old Raiders, Al Davis. You're like, Al Davis, you just want all the fastest players.
But I just kind of am starting to feel bad for him a little bit. He's had 17 appearances for Chelsea. And he hasn't contributed a goal or an assist, which is fine because you're not always doing that while you're making an impact. You can do other things to make an impact, but he's had a lot of chances that I've seen just whiff, or he had one this past week where, you know, a cross came into him and he just sliced it awfully and it ended up in the stands. I'm starting to feel bad for him. I do think he's going to come good. Just got to monitor that situation as we keep going, because I don't know how many more weeks I can defend him. I think once we get to week like 7, and if he still has not done anything, I might have to change my tune.
I think that's fair.
but yeah, 17 appearances, still nothing to show for it yet. 100 million spent. All right. Next team to talk about, and we can do these ones rather quickly. I'll say Aston Villa continue to be plagued by injuries. Beat Everton 4-0 in the second week. But in the first week, they played Newcastle, who gave them quite the beatdown. But in that, they lost Tyrone Mings. Looked like a non-contact injury, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. I think he tore his ACL as well, joining Buendia. So injury troubles over there. But still look like a fun team, going to be an enjoyable team this year. I think Unai Emery teams are very much a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I think they're very good. I think a lot of talent on that team. They had a big 5-0 in the Conference League too as well on Wednesday.
Ollie Watkins hat trick.
So I like this team. I like Villa's team. I think they're a really good team.
Yeah. Me too. I think they're just plagued by injuries so far.
I mean, it's a tough break for them too. I mean, because last year obviously with Diego Carlos getting ACL the first game of last season too, so they really can't catch a break.
I know, and they have a lot of games to play this year, so we'll see. Everton, we can just touch on them quickly. Caught a nice beat down, and in week one they also lost to Fulham rather harshly, right? They had what should have been a penalty not given to them, and went down 1-0 against them. A little bit of concern.
I'm feeling pretty right. I'm feeling pretty good on my Everton are bad.
Yeah.
They're really bad.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're not getting our boy from Leeds either. So.
Yeah. Gnoto.
Yes.
Yeah. Tough luck. West Ham looked pretty good in their first two games. Bournemouth, always a thorn in everyone's side, got a draw against them. Scored the first goal against Liverpool, couldn't quite cut it. And I think maybe the last team we'll talk about, Jimmy, is Luton Town. Bless their hearts. They got a pretty good beat down from Brighton the first week, and then match week two, their game against Burnley is postponed because their stadium is under construction.
So they're playing Chelsea today, and I'm excited to watch that. I'm hoping we'll be done here soon enough that I can make it home in time to watch it.
We'll be done in just a moment, because we're moving on now to the matches, Jimmy. Starting in 30 minutes, we have Chelsea versus Luton. What's your score?
So you, I can see you. You're going 1-1.
Yes.
I'm going to follow you 1-1 again. Ride the 1-1 train. Luton. Come on, Luton. This is your week.
How hysterical would it be if they just straight up beat Chelsea, though?
Oh, it'd be great.
I might throw a cheeky little 10 bucks on Luton Town, knowing that
that's cheeky little 10
going to the wind.
Also, by the way, I have to say this on here. PSG, I hate you. I hate you. I came out of retirement, make some parlays, 16 parlays, crazy man's bets. Hit 5 out of 5 both weeks. Both weeks lose because PSG draw. Ugh, I hate them.
Terrible. Hey, Mbappe's back, though.
He scored technically in that game. Penalty, but
all right, Bournemouth and Spurs.
I'm gonna go Spurs 2-1.
That's a 1-1 too. It's at Bournemouth. I'm calling it a 1-1.
Bournemouth are not great.
Bournemouth do enough.
Okay.
They do enough to beat a team like Spurs who do enough to lose to anyone. I'm sticking with 1-1.
I like that.
Arsenal versus Fulham.
2-1. Tough game. Arsenal still win.
I think this is more of a 3-0. For some reason, I feel like Arsenal have Fulham's number. And without Mitrovic, I don't know who scores for Fulham against Arsenal.
I mean, that's fair.
Brentford and Palace.
I'm going to go Brentford 2-0.
Oof. It's at Brentford. I'll go 2-1 Brentford. Everton and Wolves.
Oof. 0-0. Just no.
Yeah, who the hell is these scoring teams
are
in that
bad
game, right?
These are bad teams. These are bad teams.
There's definitely not going to be a goal scored here. I might follow you on 0-0. United and Nottingham Forest.
I think United get back on track. I have a 2-0.
Tough one. Forest are a tough team.
I kind of like Forest. Sneaky like them.
Mm-hmm. They
they're like I said last year, like poor man's Chelsea, of like they're a bunch of players that just get thrown into. But I kind of like it, but I'm still going to go United to win.
Steve Cooper. Interesting looking man.
No more needs to be said.
Shots fired. 1-1. 100% 1-1. Brighton and West Ham. That's actually going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that is nice. I'm excited to see that one. I'm going to go Brighton 3-1.
Yeah. I'll follow you on 3-1. Brighton are just going to score a boatload of goals this year. Burnley and Villa on Sunday.
I'm going to go. Whew. See, I want to pick Villa, but my heart wants me to see a company victory. So I'm going to go with my heart. 2-1 Burnley.
It's not a bad prediction. I mean, Burnley looked really good. I mean, despite losing by 4 goals or 3 goals to City, I thought they looked good in their style.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just couldn't hang with Manchester City, obviously. It's always a mistake to try and play like that against Man City. I get it. Like, you have a style, you got to stick to it. But at a certain point, you have to change the game plan. Anyways, 2-1 Villa. Sheffield United versus City.
3-0 City.
I'll go 4-0 City. Haaland hat trick. Newcastle versus Liverpool.
Newcastle 2-1.
3-2. I think this is going to be a fun game.
Who?
Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle. I'm going Newcastle. Love and it. Then I guess that's it. Luton play on the Friday again, though, huh?
Love the Fridays. Yeah, big right. Luton Town Friday.
Luton Town Fridays. That's a new tradition. Casual Fridays, Luton Town Fridays. All right, Jimmy. Well, I think that's it. No Twitter questions because I forgot to ask. And why don't you hit them with the plugs?
Follow us on X and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. Email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. Let us know what you're looking forward to this season. I want to hear the things, because I think it's going to be a really interesting year. I'd love to hear people's opinions on that.
We want to hear all the things, baby.
Yes, all the things. 5-star reviews too.
Yeah, give us a 5-star review.
It's been too long.
Yeah, no kidding. No one's listening.
And this is too far into the podcast to ever get one.
100%. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.